Welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Papa, a Silverlight evangelist, and I have David Pohl.
Hi, I'm a program manager on the Silverlight team, and I'm going to show you some navigation stuff today.
So we got you on here because we have a lot of questions from people about how do we do the navigation framework, how do we create a structure from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do file new project, right?
Yep, we're going to really start from scratch, and then I'm going to take you through some of the other things that we've done to help you get started with navigation applications. But the hope is just to give you a really basic intro to how this stuff works.
Which will cover your 80% scenarios, and then at the end we can talk a little about where do you go from here.
Yep, absolutely.
Great, because we're planning on doing a series of these, a short series of these where we can get into this, then we can move on, and maybe get Carl Shiflett on as well.
Sure, that great. Sounds great.
Awesome, so I'll let you dive right in.
All right, so like I said, we're going to start right from File New Project, so let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to start with a blank Silverlight application. And importantly here, I'm actually going to host this in a website. The Silverlight navigation framework is actually, it builds in some of the browser integration for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it really easy to get deep linking working, things like that. And I'll be able to show it by hosting this
so
in a website.
So it talks to things like the back button and the forward button.
Yeah. More importantly, it talks to the address bar, and then the browser kind of handles the rest for you.
Right.
So here I've got my blank Silverlight application. The core control for navigation is the frame control. So I'm going to go ahead and drag a frame.
We're not talking ASP.NET frames here, or HTML frames, but we're talking the same concepts.
Yeah, the concept is very similar. So the idea here is that this is some area of space in your application that's going to display some other content. And that content is retrieved based on a URI. So let's go ahead and make that frame fill the whole page. And the other core piece of the navigation framework is the page. So we're going to add a couple of pages, and this is the content of our application, to the project. So I'm going to say add new item and add a Silverlight page.
So what's the difference between a Silverlight page and a Silverlight user control?
So a page actually is a user control. Mm-hmm. It derives from user control in Silverlight. Now, that's a little bit different from WPF, which has the same concept here, but page is really just a user control plus navigation concepts.
Okay.
So it has a title, for example, and it has the ability to go access its navigation service so that I can, say, go to some other location from the page itself.
So if I had an existing application with no navigation framework in it and I had a series of user controls, I could easily just migrate those into a page.
In fact, I'll go one step further than that and say, if you don't need any of the navigation stuff from those user controls, you can actually navigate directly to them.
Great.
So the frame control allows you to just navigate straight to it.
To any user control.
Right. So to make this page identifiable, I'm going to give it a background color. What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Blue? All right, we'll give it a blue background. And I'm going to go ahead and add one more page.
I thought we were going on a dating service there for a minute.
Well,
threw me off guard, David.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and use my favorite color for the background of this page, which is green. Now, we're really getting to know each other, so, oops, background is green. All right, here we see a blank screen. This is basically expected. The frame doesn't have any content yet, but I can now just go ahead and navigate straight to those URIs by saying page1.xaml in the address bar. Mm-hmm. And there we go. I've just navigated to that blue page. And page2.xaml, all works perfectly. Asking your users to go and type something into the browser after a little hash mark, probably not the greatest user experience in the world.
Yeah, you're probably going to lose a few ticks in user experience.
Yeah, just a little bit. So I'm going to use kind of the third common component that you see in navigation applications, which is the hyperlink button.
Use buttons or any other kind of control as well to invoke these?
You can, and with that you actually have to go write a little bit of code, but the code is quite simple. It's literally frame.navigate and pass in a URI. So here I'm going to...
And the hyperlink button has the navigate in it.
Yeah, so the hyperlink button has a little bit of special logic in it that will go and search the visual tree for an iNavigate implementer.
Mm-hmm.
That basically just has a navigate method that takes a URI. And if it finds one with the right target name, it will call navigate. And Frame implements this for you. So I'm going to go ahead and add a hyperlink button. right down here. I'm going to tell it to target the frame that I added to the page. So the frame was called frame one. So the target on my hyperlink button is going to be, sorry, let's go ahead and use the property grid
yeah,
for
might
that.
Be easier.
Yeah. So the target is going to be frame one. The URI that it's navigating to will be that page1.xaml, so /page1.xaml. The way that the navigation framework works is it uses basically relative pack URIs. They're always application relative. So in this case, the root of my application is my Silverlight application 9, in this case, project, and I'm going to page1.xaml within that. If I had it in a folder, it would be /folder name/page1.xaml. And if it were in another assembly, I could go and say slash and use the pack URI syntax there. So I would say slash some other component names, semicolon component,
right.
/page1.xaml.
So we go right outside the assembly if we had to.
Yep. So let's go ahead and change the name of this thing to page one. And I'll copy and paste it to get page two. Now I build and run. I can click back and forth between these links. And you see the page switching for me. So I have written no code. It's all XAML so far. And I am able to move back and forth between pages. And you can imagine these pages being much more dynamic than just showing a color.
Sure. Now, you could probably have like a list box or an items control on the top or a stack panel.
Sure.
Where you bind in a n number of page hyperlink buttons, right?
Sure. And actually, what you'll see is that there's I've spent some time looking at different UIs that you can produce there. Mm-hmm. The navigation application template has one that's fairly common, and we'll get a chance to see what that looks
what
like.
What is this template we're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I know. We're going to get to see it. And the one thing to notice here is that this is actually integrated with the browser, so I can hit the back button and move back and forth between the pages. I'm on page one right now. I can drop down and go to page two. Takes
and that
me
works
right there.
With all the officially supported browsers.
That works with all of the browsers.
Great.
All right, so that's the most basic piece of the navigation framework for Silverlight.
So for everybody creating blue and green screens with nothing on them, we have solved all their problems.
That's right. They have a solution. So now we're going to take a little bit of a step beyond that.
Right.
Now, we've provided a project template in Visual Studio that really helps you get started with navigation applications. So let's take a look at what's in there. And you'll see it's the same basic components as what we've got here. So I'm going to add a Silverlight navigation application. Once again, I'll host it in a website. I can turn off the browser integration with this. So if all I want is to be able to have buttons that take me to new pages, I just have to change the journal ownership property on the frame, and it will turn off the browser integration.
Okay.
And if I'm in an out-of-browser application where there is no browser history and things like that, it just turns off automatically.
Right. So everything and the point being, it does work out-of-browser or in-browser either
That's
way.
That's right. You
There's
don't have to
nuances.
Worry about it. Correct.
Okay.
All right. So here's my Silverlight navigation application template produced project. How's that for a mouthful?
That is a mouthful.
So what I've got here is a nice little UI that has a title and a couple of links at the top. You see home and about. And you'll notice that as I click them, they're actually hyperlink buttons that already have some targets and things like that. And the main feature is a frame. So when I click this, you can see I'm actually looking at a frame. So the frame has a couple of things going on with it. There's URI mapper, which is a little bit more of an advanced concept, but the notion is that if you want to have the URIs that your user sees in the browser be nicer looking, you can change the way that routing is done using pattern matching or whatever you'd like.
Sure.
So in this case, we've done a little bit of mapping for you. And the other thing to note is that the frame itself has a source that's already set to /home. And what this basically does is says, here's the default page to go navigate to when you first hit the application. Mm-hmm. If this isn't set, you get the empty page right from the top. The other things in the project, we've got a views folder that has a couple of pages in it. Here's home and about. They're pretty simple pages.
Right.
And if I build and run the application, you'll see that what I get is basically a fully functioning shell of an application. So I can go click back and forth between home and about, the content changes, I'm integrated with the browser, all of that great stuff.
Yep, everything's so tied together.
It's a nice little starting point for you to get going with your application.
Okay.
And again, there's nothing fundamentally different about this versus the starting from scratch. It's the same basic components, frame, page, and hyperlink button, and you're all set to go at that point. So let's go even one step further, because the next big question that I always get about navigation is, how do I pass data into those pages and do something more interesting with it, right?
We don't like to load empty pages.
Yeah, I mean, it tends to be that if I always go to an about page, the content is always going to be the same no matter what I did.
But if you go to an order page or a customer page, you might want to load that specific customer.
Exactly. I'm going to add another page. Page one is a good name for it. And I'm just for the purposes of seeing what data is being passed in, I'm going to go ahead and add a data grid to this. So here's my data grid. So I'll go to the code behind for page one. And if I look at the object model for page, I can see that there's something called a navigation context.
And this is because we're actually deriving from page, not from user control.
Right, so this is one of the things that you get by not being a user control and rather being a page. And so if I look at my navigation context, I can get to a property called query string. Mm-hmm. Now the query string is not actually a string, it's a dictionary of string to string mappings.
Right.
Because what you normally get with query strings is question mark A equals B, C, and C equals D.
Hopefully we're beyond that, yeah.
Right. So the idea here is to really help you get going so you don't have to do all that parsing yourself.
Sure.
In this case, just to see what I'm getting, I'm going to bind my data grid directly to that. So I'm going to say items source is a binding. Oops, I actually need to give the page a name so that I can do this. My page. So I'm going to do a binding to navigation context dot query string, which is an IEnumerable because it's a dictionary. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would actually do this in a real application, but
it's
for the purposes of display here.
We want to see what's being passed,
yeah.
So we're just going to do this.
So element name is my page. Now I can run the application.
You're binding it to itself and its property called navigation context query string.
That's right. So I need to get to that page. I haven't added a link to it yet, so I'll just say page one. So I get an empty data grid when I just use page one.
Because we haven't passed anything.
That's right. Now if I go ahead and add a query string to it, so I'm saying question mark hello equals Silverlight TV. Oh, I get nothing. all right, just a sec. Let's see what's going on. So I'm going to take a quick debug into this. Page one. All right, so now I can take a look at the query string. So I say navigation context, query string, hello, and I should get back Silverlight TV.
Right.
So you can see I've got the data right there. If I have multiple query strings and key value pairs, that'll all just work for me and I'll be able to get them all out of the dictionary there.
Right.
So what I can do with this is I can take, for example, a customer ID, pass it in as part of the query string, and now I'm going to be able to load that customer's data on the page that I'm looking at without any problems, and I just link directly to that page. And for that matter, if I want to have a series of customers or a sequence of customers that I'm navigating you to, that'll all still work with the back forward buttons. I can send you a link directly to it. So I just go to the browser, for example, copy paste that link in the address bar and send it off to someone, and they should be able to be taken directly back to the customer that I was looking at. The other thing that you can do in terms of passing data around is do fragment navigations. So you can think of this as being like adding a hash mark to any other web page where it doesn't actually do a new server request. So in this case, it's not actually going to go create a new instance of my page. And this allows me to do basically navigations within a particular page. So one of the most common things I see done with fragment navigations is change the visual state for the page itself based on what the fragment is.
Right.
And so basically, I don't have to go reload a brand new page. I can animate in between things. It's basically a string, so I can do anything that I'd really like to with
it. So what's a good use case for using something like that?
So the most common one that I've seen, like I said, is the visual state case. But if I'm trying to take you to a specific place on the page, mm-hmm. for example, my page has a scroll viewer right at the root, and I'd like to take you directly to a control within that scroll viewer, I can use the fragment for that. And the way that I do that is really simple. There's supposed to be an override on the page. On fragment navigation.
Okay.
And I can do whatever logic I want in here. I get an event args that has the string that is the fragment for the page. And all of this that I've shown so far has been around since Silverlight 3. Now, there are some more advanced things that people might want to do with navigation. An example that I often hit is, you know, when you're in this world where basically the browser's address bar is another input to your application, mm-hmm. you can really easily send users to bad places.
Yes.
So, for example, I'm not going to go to /home, I'm going to go to /home, And I just broke my application. So what you often want to see in cases like this is kind of a cleaner user experience where you get something different back and you get a link back to the homepage, for example.
Right. Way to get back.
So one of the things that we added in Silverlight 4 is the iNavigation content loader, which is basically just a little hole that we poked in the navigation framework that says you get to control what we do when you're given a URI. So give us back something, whatever that happens to be, and interpret it however you'd like.
Okay.
I won't go into detail about how it all works, but I've spent a little time creating some examples of content loaders, and I'll show you just how easy it is to get kind of new behavior into the navigation framework using them. So let's drop back to the application.
So that's good. It'll let you extend how the navigation framework works, so if it covers your 80% scenario, you can go beyond that.
Yep, absolutely. So I'm going to add some references to some code on my blog, and you're more than welcome to go there and use it yourself. So I need...
Yeah, we'll provide links to all this up on your website.
Absolutely. So I'm going to grab a content loader that's meant for dealing with errors, and to my frame, I'm going to set the content loader property. So let me start typing here, navigation frame dot content loader. And I actually need to add an XMLNS definition here. XMLNS, this is just the name of the library that I happen to have on my
right.
blog, so
it
don't worry about that.
It understands what your namespace is.
Yep. I'm going to add the error page loader, which is one of these content loaders that I've created. Tell it to use an error page. Error page that points to that page that we just created. So that's going to be what people see when they go to a bad URI.
Okay.
So let's go to /views/. page1.xaml.
So all you're doing here is adding a new content loader to point to your custom content loader, which happens to intercept any navigation errors.
That's right. And literally all it does is it says, try and navigate. If something goes horribly wrong, then go ahead and do some other behavior.
Right.
And in this case, it's go load this other page instead. So let's go back to page one and give it something that's more like an error UI.
Sure.
I'm going to use backgrounds again because I like backgrounds and I don't have a lot of design sense either. So let's give it a nice bright red background and toss in a text block that says, it wasn't me, I've been framed. And that's just a really bad play on words.
Really bad puns.
And what I wanted to do was go and set the text to be nice and big so that people can see it.
So this will become our error page that people can navigate it to whenever they do any kind of bad navigation.
Correct. All right, so now if I run and try and go somewhere bad, you can see it loaded the page that we just added here.
Right, and you could just type back in page one, well actually not page one, but one of the other two that you've created, the home or about.
Correct, and you might imagine, for example, that on this error page I put a list of links that you might have been trying to go to.
Right.
Or things like that. Likewise, you can use these content loaders for things like authorization, loading pages that are in dynamically loaded modules, things
anytime
like that.
Anytime you need to intercept what the navigation framework is doing, and
right,
act differently.
It's kind of analogous to the generic handler in ASP.NET, where you can just basically be given a URI and give back whatever the heck you want. And that's what that navigation content loader gets us.
Okay.
So just to give you a quick idea of some of the things that you can do, I've got a little sample up on my webpage that uses a whole bunch of these.
At davidpohl.com?
Yep, davidpohl.com. Nice and easy to remember. So here I'm going and loading a page dynamically, going and downloading it basically. I can even do them, for example, cross-domain. So here I'm actually loading from an external website, picking up a Zap that has a video in it, all integrated with the navigation system. I didn't have to write any code to make that happen just because I'm using a content loader.
And are the progress bars built into the navigation framework, or is that something you've done on top?
So if you're familiar with the busy indicator control in the toolkit, that's what you were seeing there, was that busy indicator control. It's something I wrote quite a while ago in the Silverlight 3 days. It was called the activity control at the time. Mm-hmm. We've since added it to the toolkit. And then I did a little template trickery to get a progress bar that actually moves rather than just showing an indeterminate progress bar.
Sure.
But the concept is all the same, and it's all just nice and declarative. I'm not spending a lot of time writing code within this sample application at all.
Okay.
So you're welcome to take a look at this. I've got lots of examples of really more advanced things that you can do with the navigation framework on my blog.
So one of the keys that you showed earlier was, again, bad pun here, is the keys that were inside of the URI mappers.
Mm-hmm.
Could you show us that code for a quick moment again?
Sure.
Inside the URI mapper, you had some interesting syntax, which is the navigation URI mapper syntax, but I forget the names of what you had in
there. Correct. I'll pull it up here in just one moment.
I think they were squiggly brackets, right?
Yes.
Can you explain what those squiggly brackets do?
Right. So the URI mapper actually supports basically simple pattern matching.
Mm-hmm.
So I can basically have a catch-all that's going to take whatever string that still matches the string that I've put in. In this case, anything that's a slash followed by characters.
Right.
Those characters will be considered page name in this case. And in my mapped URI, I can use that same value as part of the mapped URI. So this basically says anything with a slash followed by characters actually maps to slash views slash those characters dot XAML.
And this becomes important. The reason I point out, it becomes really important if you've got a large application. You might have 5 nested folders of views. You don't want the user to be exposed to this.
Correct. And if you want to make your query strings look pretty, you can do that here too.
Right.
For example, I can have slash page name slash customer ID, and that might map to cust ID equals, like so.
Right. So that basically becomes a placeholder for a variable, if you will, inside the query string.
Right. And it makes it nice and easy to get those in, have clean URIs, not expose your user to a bunch of this weird syntax that only someone who really knows how web stuff is going to work.
There's no real magic here. It's just a little bit of mapping.
No, it's a simple mapper.
Great. So I know we're going to get into content loaders in a future show. I've asked Carl Schiffel to come on and talk a little about those. So we'll leave some of that off. But I'd like to leave you with the ultimate question I get with dealing with navigation framework is MVVM.
Yep.
Let's say you wanted to navigate to a page like you did from page 1 to 2 to 3, and then you wanted to act with some code in the view model associated with the page you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going from one page to another. The page you're leaving has to do something.
Right. So Doing this is actually pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is go to the page that I'm on, and I'm actually going to dive right to code behind here.
Because we don't have a view model.
I don't have a view model in this case, but I'll show you how to handle those types of changes. We've actually provided a number of override methods that you mm-hmm. can use that give you exactly this. So I can go and say override on navigating from. Whoops.
Navigating from is before it navigates away from here.
And this is actually cancelable. So, for example, I'm working on editing a customer. Mm-hmm. You haven't clicked save yet. I want to stop you from being able to move on. I can go set the cancel argument on the event args for this.
Or you could prompt the user and ask them to do what they want.
Exactly.
You have your options, I guess, is my point.
Exactly.
You're not stuck.
And then if you want to just do cleanup after you've left the page, don't do it on navigating from, because the page navigation can actually be canceled from elsewhere. You don't actually know where that's going to come from, or whether the navigation will complete. Instead, do on navigated from with an ED. And there you see it. And that's the place where you can do cleanup after you've left the page.
Right. So if you're going to cancel leaving, you're going to do it in the navigating from. Mm-hmm. But if you're already committed to leaving, the navigated from will fire, then you can do your cleanup.
That's right.
Hey, David, thanks for coming on, and I appreciate
my pleasure.
All this.
Absolutely.
And thank you all for watching Silver Lake TV.
Thank you.